It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
The Dave Hooker Show.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Objective insight. Expertise. Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app.
Download now for free.
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
I compute and obey.
Now to Dave Hooker.
Ready. Here we go on this rainy Tuesday. We're loaded up as it's tough keeping track of personnel nowadays. One Tennessee Vol leaves the football team. A couple of other basketball Vols find a home. A future basketball finds a home, basketball player finds a home, and then you've got Joe Milton asked to play tight end, and one of the most ignorant questions that I have ever heard. Also, this day in Tennessee sports history, a lot to get to, and your input on the message board. Good morning to you and yours out there on the message board. We certainly appreciate you being a part of the program. If you could hit that like and subscribe, please do that. Caleb Calhoun, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm fantastic. Well, we got a lot to get to today, and I want to start with today's tough question. And today's tough question has to do with a Vol surprisingly leaving the University of Tennessee.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of offthehooksports.com.
Let's get your early take, Caleb. What do you make of Christian Conyer, defensive back, telling the Vols goodbye during the spring portal, which doesn't happen nearly as often as the January portal?
I think this is a red flag for Tennessee. And this is a red flag for, let's remember this. Christian Conyer was a four-star across the board out of Kentucky in the 2023 recruiting class. Tennessee has a desperate need in the secondary. You would think that a player like Christian Conyer would fit perfectly into the rotation, even though we never really heard him last year. We just thought he could develop eventually. You would think he could fit perfectly into the rotation eventually as a highly talented defensive back. I don't think Josh Heupel and the staff recruited him, not expecting him to make an early impact, given his star rating and given what they needed in the secondary. So for him to transfer out after a year, this isn't a throwaway pickup they got last year. You know how, you know, Dave, in the recruiting trail, like you sign a 25-member class and like there's about 10 players in that class that are three stars that you're like, okay, it's not a big deal if they transfer, right? Like, you know that you, how many members do a coach, how many players do a coach take in a class where they're like, it's a coin flip if they work out and they know it's a coin flip.
I've said it's 50-50 every year with every class. About 12 to 13 are going to be good. 12 to 13 are going to be nah.
But how many do the coaches know are a total coin flip? Do they expect to be like they, it's like, I'll sign it on the chance that he's good, but he may not be good.
I think they knew 20 years ago, but I think with the restrictions on contact that started to exist about 10 years ago, I think they are more uncertain about a player's character than ever before, which I know drives coaches crazy.
Okay. Because the reason I'm bringing all that up is this. Christian Conyer was not one of their coin flip guys. He was one of their guys.
No. He was clearly, there's no argument. He was clearly a highly valued guy, but not only by Tennessee, by the recruiting rankings, by basically everybody. He had several scholarship offers.
Right. So here comes my question. Is, did Christian Conyer have an issue that nobody saw before he got on campus? You talked about character. Was there a academic issue that the coaches could not have known about? And we're not casting any aspersions on Christian Conyer. We don't know. Or was it just he wasn't good enough? And if it just he wasn't good enough, I got concerns about Tennessee's evaluating talent, ability to evaluate talent on the recruiting trail. And I've had it for a while.
Now, I pointed out four-star, but Dylan points out on our message board, his top two came down to us and Kentucky, to be fair. So it's not like they won an incredible recruiting battle. Where is he from again, Christian Conyers?
Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay. Those kids are always overvalued. So you've kind of won me over to your argument. You and Dylan have ganged up on me because the kids from Kentucky are always overvalued. Why? Because they have to have some 5 and 4 stars, don't they, in the whole state? Because the whole state's horrible at football. So Caleb, maybe. I mean, maybe just beating a Kentucky is an overrated guy. I think, though, and again, we don't know if Christian Conyers did anything wrong. We don't know if they just didn't think he was good enough. But I think they've settled in, and they're not going to tell us who they are. I think they've settled in on their guys, and they've made it very obvious to the guys that transferred out and the guys that made decisions to move on to the NFL. And now Christian Conyers, you're not one of those guys. I'm reading the tea leaves. Admittedly, this is not, I'm not sourcing this, but that is the way I read this, is you're just not as good as these other dudes. And maybe they didn't even tell him that. Maybe he just realized it on his own. Your take on that, brought to you by our good friends at Rick Terry Jewelry Design. They want to be your jeweler. Looking for affordable game day jewelry? How about the Fire Opals, a Tennessee tradition? RickTerryJewelry.com. RickTerryJewelry.com. So for right or wrong, Caleb, I do think Tennessee feels set in who they want in the defensive backfield. Your thoughts on that?
I think they do too, but my only issue with this is, if they do, it's because of a lot of transfers they went and got from the portal this offseason, which would lend itself to the idea that they missed on a guy like Conyer. And, I mean, you're right. They probably shouldn't have. If it was down to Tennessee and Kentucky, I don't care if he was a 4-star at that point. Clearly, other big schools didn't want him. I feel like the coaching staff is at a level where they've got to evaluate those guys. They've got to be able to understand. And by the way, this is, Dave, I'm going to say it. You're going to hate me. But this is a type of mistake Butch Jones would make. He went for the star guys.
I'm going to defend Heupel in this to the nth degree. There are still some guys in last year's class. Now, there are still guys in last year's class that could contribute. But we have a good feel for that. And I think that there have been guys since Josh Heupel's been there that he's taken that maybe he wouldn't take once Tennessee is at a championship level. So if they took that guy from Kentucky and they were able to steal one from Kentucky, I got no problem with that. The evaluation must have been off by the analyst and Heupel, if that's the case. Again, we don't know that that's the case.
Right, but it's they had to miss in some way, and I feel like in 2023, you weren't wasting scholarships, particularly that was after the 2022 season where you went 11-2 and finished in the top six. So I just think that, look, Conyers alone is not the only And I'll let you bring up a couple of guys Heupel's hit on because I know you have them up your sleeve. But before you get to me on that, on the transfer portal and on the trail, Conyers is not the only guy Heupel's been missing on the last couple of years. And I've said this for a while now. I think Heupel is a great X's and O's in-game coach. There's questions about his work ethic in recruiting. I don't think that matters as much as people think. I'm going to be honest. And there's so many other factors that go into recruiting. But there is an issue with talent evaluation. And I've been feeling that for a while now. And I think wasting a scholarship on a guy like Conyers. Now, maybe it's because in this era of the transfer portal.
You just got the scholarship back.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe in this era you can afford to waste scholarships.
Yeah, so if you've got a 4-star right over the border in Kentucky, I mean, I would take him. I would take that guy and hope he pans out. I agree with Smoky Mountain Red on the message board. I just think there's too much depth. They brought in a ton of people. Is that a good sign or a bad sign for Tennessee that they seem set on that? Don Self, State Farm, customer service still matters. For over 40 years, they built their business on taking care of their customers. The greater Chattanooga area, call 423-396-2126 or donself.net, donself.net. Check him out, Don Self. No, I don't think Christian Conyers in and of himself is any sort of concern, but I actually think it might be a little encouraging. And check this out, that Tennessee is willing to let a guy like that go, if he's any good, because they feel so good about the defensive backs they have. I could easily spin this into a positive because they got so many defensive backs right now, some were going to be left out of the rotation.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Pretend you're an NFL team. You're a Cowboys fan, which, you know, I like to mess with you all the time on because you torture yourself because every year is your year and then it's not. But
until the playoffs.
So say in the third round, Jerry Jones drafts a defensive back. Now, a third round pick you expect to work out eventually for your team, right?
Yes.
If the next year he signed a defensive back at the same position, or two defensive backs, you would see that as a red flag of him saying, oh, I missed on that third round pick last year. Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you say that, but that's not how college football recruiting is. And
it is in the transfer portal.
More guys. You take more guys. Here's what I think. Here's what it comes down to. Now, big caveat. Can I throw a caveat in here?
Sure.
You got me on Hooker and Milton. Okay. I'm not going to argue that. But as far as talent evaluation, otherwise,
one of the worst personnel decisions made in the history of football, by the way.
Okay. Milton was a great practice player. Whatever. I don't care.
No, he wasn't.
You got me on that one. You got me on that one. Okay. But how about a James Pierce? How about a Nico Iamaleva? How about all those guys that they've been able to pull in? My belief is that he gets about 75% of what he wants, the players he wants. And there's about 25% that's just filled out the class that Conyers guys, they brought in because they didn't have the pick of a litter like Georgia. You get a championship level and that 75% becomes pretty much 90 to 95% of who you want. That's the way Tennessee used to recruit. I think it's more along the lines of that than it is talent evaluation. And that's why they've missed on some guys.
I think there's more players they've missed on than you're giving them credit for. And I think that's the issue because James Pierce, look, you get enough 4-stars. I mean, Dave, you know this. You get enough 4-stars and a couple of 5-stars. I don't care if you're the worst coach and the worst recruiter in the world. One of them is going to be generational talent and law of averages. So for James Pierce, and you're right, he went all out for Nico. I don't think there was a lot of scouting required for Nico. I think the entire country knew that Nico was a generational quarterback when they were trying to get him. And Josh Heupel just got the NIL collective to say, hey, open up the checkbook. But let's, you know, you're forgetting about guys like Addison Nichols and a guy like, by the way, Tyree West. Where has he been? He's been in the roster for 2 years now, and he hasn't seen the field that much. But highly talented defensive lineman at the time. There are multiple other players that I could get to. Oh, Jordan Matthews. I thought Jordan Matthews was going to be a generational talent at cornerback for Tennessee. Can't see the field. And these are all highly touted players, and I just feel like Heupel is going after them and they're not panning out. And Christian Conyers was one of the top ones in the 2023 class. He was a big reason it was a top 10 class to begin with. You know, when we're naming these guys, we're just thinking, well, yeah, you can talk about
James Pearson, Nico Iamaleava. I can talk about a lot of other players who have straight up not worked out so far. They're young. They could work out, but it seems like Heupel's going to the transfer portal very quickly to fill these voids rather than turning to his recruits and develop him.
Okay, it's on our poll question right now on the YouTube channel. If you want to get on board that, please vote right now. Are you worried about losing Christian Conyers? 41% says yes, bad judgment. 59% says no, plenty of depth. Well, Tennessee's had plenty of depth in the secondary. They just haven't been very good players. So I think that's a big part of it as well. If they have good players, it's way different to me. And
all of these guys in the secondary, from what you say, basically could just fill. They are all capable of filling in if it's just one of them filling in for an injured starter, right?
With who they have now. No, I think they think a lot more of who they have now. Are you talking about previous years?
2 years. Yeah, oh, previous years.
It's just like whoever. Hey, dude, what's your name? It's Bob, coach. All right, Bob, we need you to go over here. What position? I don't know. Do you like safety?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, let's get to four downs. It's brought to you by our good friends at Dynasty Pools and Spas. Four downs is right now.
Four Downs brought to you by Dynasty Spas, the most comfortable spas made in the United States of America, right here in East Tennessee. Drop in for the all-new showroom in Athens, Dynasty Spas, perfect for all four seasons. Four Downs, presented by Off the Hook Sports.
Ken, I want your comments on the message board. Give me one word that would describe Tennessee's spring portal class to this point, which has been nil. And for a team that has been so active in the transfer portal, that's a little bit surprising. I remind you that Josh Heupel has shown us it is not really his place to take guys in the spring portal because it's so tough to be able to contribute. Don't forget, this person has to, if you brought in a running back, you have to pass protect for Nico Iamaleava.
Cooper Mays here. Hit like and subscribe.
Thank you. No running back. Is that a concern for you, Caleb?
It's a concern because I don't think Cam Seldon can shoulder the load, and I don't think Deshaun Bishop can. But Peyton Lewis is arriving, and I still believe in Peyton Lewis, and I still believe in Khalifa Keith as a pass blocker. And here's the thing. For me, a running back in this system, as long as you
can
block,
when you say arriving, I want to be clear. By arriving, you mean getting healthy because he's on campus and he underwent shoulder surgery. So.
Yes. I'm talking about being healthy. Khalifa right. Keith. Yes. My thing with running backs is as long as you can pick up pass, bro, I'm good. And here's why. Jalen Wright was rare. In Josh Heupel's system, I don't think you need rare weapons at running back. I think the interior blocking is more important. And Cooper Mays and Javonte Spraggins back will, combined with the threat of the Nico passing game, will make any running back good in this system.
I tend to agree with that. Second down, I think that's why you saw Jalen Wright slip so far.
Cooper Mays here.
Yep.
Second down.
Nobody in the spring portal? Is that okay? Should that be okay with Tennessee fans? Are you okay with zero? And then I'm going to go to the message board for some of your comments on the spring portal to this point.
You know, and it's funny because we were talking about this earlier before the show, and then I kind of started to think about it. They put all their efforts into keeping their guys from December. Tennessee did more than most to retain their returning talent in December. So I don't think it's as big of a deal this time around because I think that their whole focus, they believe in the guys that they have that played last year. That's the real story of this. And so and so I kind of think that in that sense, normally I would say it's a concern, but I don't think it is actually. And I bet you disagree. Do you? I'm guessing you do.
over Dave. Running back or nobody altogether?
Nobody altogether.
No. I think there has to be a really goofy, obvious one to take this shortly before the season. I wouldn't, as a rule, I wouldn't take anybody. I didn't say that at the beginning of the show because I didn't want to give away the suspense, but I think the spring portal is stupid.
Tennessee center Cooper Mays here. Third down.
I mean, I think it's really stupid. A guy could come in and completely screw up your whole chemistry. So let me ask you that for third down. How much of chemistry do you think is a factor when Josh Heupel, and is it more so than other coaches, when he factors character into transfers or high school prospects he will take? Does that hurt him in some regards?
Oh, I think it helps him. I think the chemistry part is huge. And I think Heupel got out ahead of this, by the way. I said this, guys, go back and look at my old blog. I said this in 2021 when I realized a bunch of players were coming back, Hooker and Tillman, and I looked at Tennessee's schedule and I looked at the Orgeron at LSU and Florida being under first-year coaches, and I said, everything's in place for Tennessee to have a breakout 2022 season. And I said, the reason it's all in place is because of the schedule lining up right, but also because Tennessee had so much experience returning, and the experience was going to outweigh the talent disadvantages at other schools. And you saw that. By the way, when they had that Pittsburgh game 2 years ago, remember that one, Dave? They don't win that if they don't have the experience and the chemistry with each other.
Do me a favor if you can. Can you pull up the SEC and their transfers? Are there significant transfers happening elsewhere in the SEC? Because I'll go ahead and tell you, fourth down is going to be, should it even matter? It's brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. That just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals. Made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com.
All SEC center Cooper Mays here, fourth down.
Does the spring transfer portal even matter? What are the other SEC schools doing in the spring portal? I don't hear about any big-time news. The only news I hear are from like the Iowa States of the world and those type of schools that are getting other players. So I'll just ask you, does the spring portal even matter, Caleb?
No, I don't think – well, it doesn't matter for the next year. I think spring portal guys are guys you pick up maybe that you hope will work out a couple of years down the road. It's almost like your recruiting class. I think your December portal is like, that's guys you want to have an impact the next year. Your spring portal is guys that you hope work out a couple of years down the road. And or you just take a chance of maybe they will work out. And so for instance, Jaden Rashada to Georgia. That's a splash pickup for Georgia that's going to work out down the road. But most of the time, I don't believe in the spring portal. Most notably, Hendon Hooker was a December portal guy, and Joe Milton was a spring portal guy. Now, who do you think worked out?
No, fair. I guess Rashada would be the one shining example out there, but I don't see a lot of other SEC schools getting better. And I think he's almost the perfect fit type of guy. Like, you could see a team needing a quarterback and taking one either because of an injury in spring practice or whatever reason. I could see that. But again, you're just risking a lot with your team chemistry there. And I think that's a real concern. I remind you, the show is represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorneys. Play to win, BanksandJones.com. Why Banks & Jones? Other lawyers say they'll go to trial. They won't. They'll settle and settle for less. Banks & Jones, ready to go to trial for you. BanksandJones.com. Why settle? BanksandJones.com. Tennessee hoops, definitely in the news. They pick up a big one. Igor Milicic Jr., in fact. How big of a pickup is this for the basketball Vols and Rick Barnes?
This is a gigantic pickup. I think that Tennessee, a week after adding Ohio State transfer Felix Opara, I said that was actually a concern at the time because I'm like, does this mean they're not getting Igor Milicic because they want Igor Milicic? Tennessee has just massively upgraded their post game. Yeah, you heard me say that. They have massively upgraded their post game from last year. Tennessee has a true big in Felix Opara who can do everything Jonas Adu did on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, he is an amazing shot blocker, amazing rebounder. He's 6'11". He's wildly athletic. Then they go and add Igor Milicic, who can do the scoring. Jonas. Oh, by the way, Opara can do all the defensive things Toby Awaka can do also with the toughness, but he's 3 inches taller and more athletic. So there's all of that. Now, the finesse that Jonas Adu provided, they get an Igor Milicic, who is 6'10", who is a 38% three-point shooter and hit 2 threes a game last year, averaging 13 points, but also 8.5 rebounds. So he can play under the basket and he can stretch the court. And then there's JP Estrella, who's going to develop for Tennessee. You saw that at the end of the year. Tennessee went from having two bigs last year, an Adu and a 6'8 Awaka. And now they have three bigs, all at least 6'10", all of whom will be valuable next year. One of whom can create floor spacing in Igor Milicic because he's going to be able to get outside and shoot the three. That's something they were missing with Zach Edey, or when they were facing Zach Edey this past year. I think that this is incredible. This allows Rick Barnes to play his old way with his new way. Because you know Rick Barnes likes a couple of bigs inside and tries to play inside out. But with Igor Milicic, you can play inside out, but you could also still have four guys on the perimeter and have one guy down low. Because Igor Milicic can do either thing, either way, can play either way. This is gigantic. This is incredible.
Wow. That's a pretty strong statement there. Incredible. What other schools were going after him, Caleb?
Let me pull that up. Let's see.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I'll remind you, John Adams typically joins us on a Tuesday. He is off this week, but he will be rejoining us very soon. So with Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. So what were you pulling up again?
Well, so I was pulling up the schools he transferred to Tennessee over. Okay. But
we'll give you that. We'll give you that in 15 seconds.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
All right, so who'd they beat out for Milicic?
Still pulling that up, but I'm having a hard time finding who they beat out, quite honestly, which may be a bit of a concern.
Well, these European players, sometimes it's tough to know.
Well, no, it's also, this is just terrible reporting by some of the other recruiting sites that aren't reporting where he was looking, quite honestly. I'm just going to say that out loud. Yes. The real story, though, is that he was at Virginia as a freshman. He was valued in a lot of ways. I never really looked at his top schools, to be fair. I looked at what he could do, and I looked at his play, and his play was incredible. And
describe, and so if you can get, describe him as you see him as a basketball player, and you're not a coach and you're not a player, so I can ask you to do this, make a comparison for me. And if you don't have one right now, hold tight and we'll get back to it.
A comparison for Igor Milicic Jr. I'm trying to think.
You can get to that. What did you like about his play?
Tricky. Oh, I actually wrote the comparison. No, I actually said this. Yeah. Dirk Nowitzki. He's Dirk Nowitzki. Like,
setting you up for that. That's a pretty big one. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki changed the game.
Yes, exactly. But this was a huge... But that's what I'm saying. Dirk Nowitzki changed the game, and Igor Milicic is part of that changing of the game. And so I guess that's where I'm coming with it, is that Igor Milicic is...
Oh, we lost Kate. Igor Milicic can what? We lost you for a second.
Oh, he shot 37.8% from three last year, hit 1.8 threes a game. And by the way, he visited Nebraska and Baylor. And so Nebraska is one thing, but Baylor did win the national title 3 years ago. So to beat out Baylor is pretty impressive. And So, I mean, this is a gigantic pickup. He is 1.8 of 3.8 on threes a game this past year. And he's a development player. He played like 6 minutes when he was at Virginia. Then he played 22 minutes 2 years ago when he transferred to Charlotte. Then he played 30 minutes a game. He's upped his averages every year. He is a typical development player that embraces developing as a prospect, the exact type of player Rick Barnes wants. And him and Felix Opera together in the post, that's going to be incredible. That's an incredible duo. Add in Darlin Stone Dubar, who Rick Barnes just got to get his to be his next Dalton Connect, basically. Okay. Is
that's where you and I are going to differ a little bit, because this team has no Dalton Connect, in my opinion, until I see him in an orange uniform running up and down the court at Thompson Bowling Arena. Because I think Dalton Connect is that type of special once a decade, once every 15 years or so player. So I would just say odds-wise, the chance of him doing that are going to be slim. So that leads us to the poll question, which is on the YouTube page. And I'm really curious about this one. Will Vols be better in 24-25 than they were last year? Yes, Barnes figured it out. No, there's no Dalton. I think you know where I stand. There's no Dalton. Until I see a guy be that special, do what he did against Auburn, I'm not there, and I'm not going to be. They could be deeper. There are a lot of players on that team that I thought kind of choked down the stretch, but it wasn't Dalton Connect, and they don't have him.
Yes, they'll be better. Yes, they will be better. And I'm going to tell you that right now. They have a guy who is the exact profile of Dalton Connect and Darlin Stone Dubar. They have better bigs. It's just a fact that their bigs are better now. Okay? They have more options among bigs. They had two last year because JP Estrella had to develop. Now they have three, and that's not even including the fact that Cade Phillips might develop. So they are deeper at the big in the post. If they didn't do any more additions right now, they'd have an 8-man rotation ready to go. Their guard play this year is going to be more efficient offensively. I have all the respect in the world for Josiah Jordan James. I also have a great deal of sympathy for what Santiago Viscovi had to go through this past year and also changing the offense. But I think Tennessee's backcourt is going to be better this year with Cameron Card developing, Jemai Meshack developing, Jordan Ganey back for another year, Zakai Ziegler returning. So with all that in mind, yeah, they're going to be better next. Even if Darlin Stone Dubar is not as good as Dalton Connect, they'll still be better next year because their big rotation is incredible.
See, I think so much of Dalton Connect that would stun me if they had anybody in his stratosphere. Maybe I think more of him than you.
I think Dalton Connect is a trend, not a unique outlier for Rick Barnes. I think he's going to be getting Dalton Connects for the next 10 years.
Okay, explain that. And then I want to go to Kyle had something to say on the message board that I thought was interesting. And Elias did too. Sorry, it was Elias. Go ahead.
Dalton Connect thrived so much because he's a wing who can score. So he's the perfect type of player for Rick Barnes to develop. Typically, Rick Barnes got one and dones that were like that. Think Kevin Durant, who, by the way, you would probably agree Kevin Durant was generational, right? He was a generational player.
We've gotten to the point, not just on this show, but all media throw that around a little too loosely. But, right. Bo yes. Jackson's generational.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Kevin Durant was generational. Dalton Connect was better playing for Rick Barnes than Kevin Durant was. The reason is because Dalton Connect, as a fifth or fourth year guy, had that talent and was fully willing to buy into what Rick Barnes was trying to get him to do. He's going to continue to go for 3 and 4 year guys who will fully buy into what Rick Barnes is trying to get him to do. And because of that, you will see wings who can score all of a sudden thrive for Rick Barnes. It's going to be a factory the way Josh Heupel quarterbacks is a factory, or the way Steve Spurrier quarterbacks was a factory in the 90s.
I love that Josh Heupel quarterbacks. You just say that factory, just like it's already done and done.
Josh Heupel puts quarterbacks in the NFL, whether or not they're good.
Well, that's true. Tennessee loses two transfers. Where do they end up? Well, I think their destination actually shows an awful lot of respect for the Vols. Stay tuned. Please hit that like and subscribe button because we'll be back in 2 minutes to talk about personnel moves on the Hill.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment like American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust? Experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
You're listening to The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
The internet is full of pictures of each and every one of you.
Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app. Download now for free.
Is there nothing you people can't do?
Also available on offthehooksports.com.
Hey, so one question I did want to get into, and I forgot, Elias, my bad, because that was a great post. Elias says this team will be better built for March than last year's team. I'm not following that, with all due respect, Elias, because you have a bona fide, I can get you 2 points player last year. I don't know that you have that this year. How does that jive with you that they could be better in March than they are in the regular season?
Because they were better in March than they were in the regular season this past year. They had not fully adjusted to Rick Barnes' new high low motion offense in November this last year than they did this year. So that's how they could be better in March. I think they're better fit for March too, because again, they have more shooters. They are ready. Cameron Carr is developing. Jemai Meshack is developing. They have more options to shoot three this year than they did last year. And 3-point shooting wins in March.
Yeah, that's true. It is time for to take a look at some other Tennessee basketball players.
What the? What was he thinking?
Release the hounds.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Keep cool.
A presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
Where did Jonas Adu go?
He went to Arkansas.
Where did Mr. Awaka go?
Toby Awaka went to Arizona.
Okay. That is a compliment to Tennessee. Do you realize that they just had two players transfer out of their program for whatever reason, and they ended up at Arkansas with John Calipari, who you can argue can bring in talent. May not be a good X's and O's guy, but is bringing in guys. And then Arizona, another basketball school, brings in another one of Tennessee's players. Is Tennessee to the point in which other basketball historically strong teams are taking their leftovers?
That's certainly what it looks like. Now, that part, what you just said, is very clear with Awaka, because I talked to Jimmy when you were off, Dave, and I talked to, and you have your own reporting. Awaka wanted to come back. Toby Awaka was testing the NIL market in the portal, and he wanted to come back to Tennessee. He backed off because Rick Barnes decided, I don't really need you. I'll get this Ohio State center and I'll get this Charlotte center. And if you want to come back, fine, but you're going to have to compete with them for playing time. And then he decided, and then the reason he didn't come back is he didn't like the competition that was back there. That's what happened with Toby Iwaka. And so Arizona said, we'll take you. Basically, Iwaka's judgment was, I got a better chance of playing at Arizona than I do at Tennessee.
That you realize, over history, over the history of college basketball, pretty much every decade that you could look at, that would sound insane.
Every single decade, that would sound insane. Every single one. But he did it. Jonas Adu was just running. He was just running from Vol Twitter. By the way, Jonas, you're not going to like Hog Twitter either, just so you know. But he was running from Vol Twitter. That's what that was.
They weren't so bad. They tried to get on me a little bit. They weren't so bad.
Oh, they probably are so convinced that they're like, we got a player from Tennessee. John Calipari knows what he's doing. Yeah. And they have no idea what
they had to pay for Iwaka and chickens and pies because they still use the barter system. But
you mean Adu?
Oh, Adu. Excuse me. Adu, yes. But again, Tennessee's just right in the thick of players moving. And this is right up there with the blue bloods. I mean, Arizona's as close to a blue blood as you can get. Arkansas second tier, but I mean, you lose players like that, you've got a pretty good basketball team on your hands.
Absolutely, you do. And I think they were thinking NBA to a certain degree. Well, Iwaka is trying to develop some. I think Iwaka, again, it was about he tested the NIL market and then he played himself. So he went to Arizona, and that's a huge testament. I'm going to tell you what's going through Jonas Adu's mind at Arkansas right now. This is as far as Jonas Adu thought it through. He said, John Calipari. Well, no, it wasn't even checked. No, wasn't even that. It was, he saw John Calipari, NBA draft picks. I go play for John Calipari. I get drafted into the NBA. No thought whatsoever about the development he needs to do, the toughness he needs to bring, or anything like that to actually be an NBA draft pick. He looked at it.
You're really getting inside his brain a little bit there. And even though I tend to agree with everything you said, it still, to me, would have been wise for him to hang out. Now, I'm curious, because I was off. Did Jimmy Iams give us any indication that Adu was asked to leave?
No. Adu nor Iwaka were asked to leave. Rick Barnes, just so you guys know, thought Adu was going to be one of his greatest development projects in his entire career of coaching. He really believed in Adu. He was shocked when Adu left. And I think genuinely what happened is Adu didn't like the criticism he got from the Elite Eight game. Now, Dave, you know that, like, you and I know this.
Wait, you think he left because of criticism he got?
Yes.
From Adu?
Yes, he ran. He absolutely ran. He ran because it made no sense. He ran because Rick Barnes was sticking his neck out for Adu the way Rick Barnes never sticks his neck out for players, Dave. I don't know if you know this, but like Rick Barnes usually is willing to throw his players under the bus to a certain degree.
No, I know. Yeah.
Rick Barnes went out of his way to say Adu will be better. He'll bounce back from this. He was so much of a believer in what Adu could do. And then the fact that Rick Barnes developed you for the NBA. He turned Grant Williams into a first-round draft pick. A 6'8 forward who can't touch the rim is not usually a first-round draft pick, okay? And Rick Barnes turned him into one. So everything was smart about him staying at Tennessee. Adu ran, and I can put the pieces together because the Purdue game showed he's mentally weak. And so with that in mind, he bolted because he didn't like Vol Twitter going at him.
I'll tell you this. That's a sad, sad reason to leave if you're that mentally fragile and things aren't going to work out for you elsewhere if that's the case. I wonder a little bit if this was combined with an NIL issue. What I've been told about Rick Barnes is he doesn't like the NIL aspect of it and he lets somebody handle it. My question to you, Caleb, is that sustainable? Because wouldn't you prefer, if all things are equal, I don't know, a younger coach like a Josh Heupel that might be hip to the new ways of college athletics? I mean, can Rick Barnes really change and take full advantage of the NIL game? Because if somebody can, you can have a really fun basketball program.
there's one layer to this with Rick Barnes, that reason I think it works. This is crazy because he's not Nick Saban or Kirby Smart. But for the players Rick Barnes wants to get using NIL, it's not recruits. Like I said, it is transfer portal guys. And for transfer portal juniors and seniors, Dave, there's an NIL discount to go. There's a Rick Barnes discount on NIL because Rick Barnes will get you to the NBA.
I want to go back to something you said about Adu. And I think you gave him too much credit than I did. Boundless moving from a 2-hour minimum to the turnkey operations. They've got you covered. Boundless moving. Again, Boundless Moving in East Tennessee and in Charlotte. Boundless Moving moved me. They can move you. I don't think Adu was concerned about the NBA. I think that he looked at North Carolina, and I believe Baylor were his other schools. And he looked at John Calipari, can line me up with the most cash right now. Because a lot of that money that followed Calipari via Nike from Memphis to Lexington will now follow him to Fayetteville. So I will bet you that there's a more significant check waiting on Adu in Fayetteville, Arkansas, than Rick Barnes had waiting for him in Knoxville, Tennessee at the Pratt Pavilion Center.
You know, but there's a Calipari discount too, because of his track record of getting guys to the NBA. And now,
so let me ask you this, Caleb. Would you take, okay, let's just say it's $100,000 a year. That's the going price for Caleb. How tall are you?
5'9" and a half. Okay, there's no going price for me.
A 5'9" guard is who he got rocking on. So let's say you get $100,000. Okay. Would you take less to play for Barnes, Calipari, or both? And which one would be more likely? One gets you ready for the NBA. One kind of gets you ready for the NBA. One gets you paid right away. I'm going to Arkansas.
I'm taking less to play for Barnes.
Okay.
And here's why. Calipari, and this is the greatest misnomer in sports. Calipari is not getting these guys to the NBA. Calipari is babysitting these guys for a year, and then they're going to the NBA, because if it wasn't for one and done, they'd all be first-round draft picks anyway. Is there anybody, Dave, since one and done started, these top five draft picks Calipari produces, is there anybody that wasn't already a top five draft pick that nobody heard of, and then he went to play for Calipari, and then he became a top five draft pick? Have you heard of anybody Calipari turned into an NBA prospect?
No, I think Derrick Rose showed up on campus pretty good.
Derrick Rose was going to be a number one draft. Yes, exactly. It could have been
Coach Caleb and Coach Dave.
Yes. Derrick Rose, Tyreek Evans, John Wall, Anthony Davis. I can just go down the list. It's not like you were like, oh, well, you know, nobody heard of these guys until John Calipari came in and he turned them into NBA draft picks. No, no one has ever said that about those guys.
He's a rooting, tooting, shooting. There we go. with NBA money, you're incredibly short-sighted to not take Barnes. That's what Elias says. Elias, I agree with that. Earlier, I want to clarify, I was looking at it from a Adu's perspective. Not that I would take that perspective, and not that that's the advice that I would give my son or daughter in that type of situations. But Elias says, but kids are going to be kids, and so many of them have cousins and uncles in their ear. They certainly do. And they can get you. Yes.
Sorry.
Destroyed my awesome transition. Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, no, I was just going to say, here is the worst part about this, where what's so short-sighted. A lot of them go because Calipari will convince them they can be stars in the NBA. Guys, the best job in the world, and Dave, I challenge you to find me a better job than this. The best job in the world is to be an NBA role player who logs 10, 15 minutes a game, plays maybe 5, 7, 10 years.
J.J. Redick made like $180 million.
Yes, exactly.
J.J. Redick.
All you have to do is the coaches will say, give me 10 to 15 minutes a game. Give me those 10 to 15 minutes, and you'll walk away with generational wealth that could never, ever, your family could never blow through.
The show represented by Banks and Jones, 60 seconds. And then I got Joe Milton asked to play tight end. Is that a racist question? Because it felt like one to me. I remind you that the program is brought to you in part by our good friends at Banks and Jones. Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks and Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks and Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? Banks and Jones, T. Scott Jones, banksandjones.com. All right, so I want to get to this Joe Milton question that was asked of him by the Patriots. But first, I would like to get to this day in Tennessee sports history. As I remind you, John Adams joins us each and every Tuesday, but he's on vacation. He will rejoin us a little bit later on. John gets a lot of vacation. I'll go ahead and warn you of that. Jimmy Himes will join us tomorrow, and we've got several new additions to the program we'll be able to announce over the coming days, so we're very, very excited. And I've been considered the resident media Joe Milton hater, right? Jump on me, message board, if you want to. What I will say, and this is my defense of this, and it's as simple as it is, as I told you what I thought was true at the time, I hope Joe Milton has a fantastic career. I think the fact that Joe Milton was asked if he could play another position by Patriots media was borderline racist. We are so far beyond those days where you just ask an athletic black guy if he can play another position, that I really thought those coaches were gone. And I mean at the high school level, because that's where stacking starts. Caleb, have you heard of that term before?
Never heard of the term stacking.
Stacking comes from way back. And it's sometimes subconscious. But when you line up, let's say, a football team, you put the white guy at quarterback because he's supposed to be smarter, right? Like back in the day. And yep. Same thing in baseball. You put the white guy at pitcher and catcher. So I thought that asking Joe Milton that question was so absolutely out of line. And I warned you in a different way about that New England media, because that's somebody that was mad that they took Joe Milton and wasted a pick. That is some goofball who likes his chatter and asked Joe Milton if he can play tight end. That's what that was. And it's sad.
So I try to be very careful about this because I want to be very aware to race issues in this country.
And I want to be clear too, Caleb, and I want to be clear too. I'm not saying it's a big race issue. It's not like other race issues in our country, but I think it's a subconscious thing by whoever asked that question. Sorry.
And that's where I was going. And look, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, yeah, I absolutely would have believed it. It still blows my mind that Warren Moon was asked to play a different position. And I studied about Warren Moon's history. I cannot believe that people thought he should play a different position before he went to the NFL. And if Warren Moon had played his whole career in the NFL, one forced to go to Canada, Dave, are we talking a potential top three quarterback of all time if he got to come out?
And the funny part is he couldn't run at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at least if, like, with Steve McNair, who they tried, Steve McNair could run. He was athletic. Now, I will say, I still like to be very careful before I attach the racist narrative to it until I know the person, because, so I'm one of those people that maybe I'm just a decent guy, Dave, but I like to steel man other people's arguments before I straw man them. And so,
Let me ask you.
And I'm not accusing you of straw. I'm not accusing you of straw manning. I'm not accusing you of straw manning.
I'm not even sure what those terms mean, but let me ask you this. Oh, building up a, got it, you can bring down.
Building up someone's thought rather than thinking the negative of their thought first. I'm not accusing you of doing that, because on its face, this seems very racist on its face because of the history of it with black quarterbacks. I think there is a level.
Travis brings up a point. Joe doesn't like contact. He'd be terrible at tight end.
That's exactly where I was about to go with Travis. I think there's
a level. That doesn't even matter. I'm not even to that point yet.
Well, I think there's a level of laziness that doesn't necessarily apply to black quarterbacks as much anymore as it does just to athletic quarterbacks. There's an assumption that athletic quarterbacks can play other positions. People were asking Josh Allen to play tight end, remember? When he came out And you and I both know there were some. Yeah, okay. There were some. And you and by the way, Josh Allen would not have made a good tight end. Yeah, people were asking him to play tight end.
For the Bills. And
yes. Not before he went to the Bills. When he was a draft prospect, people thought he should be a tight end guy. I thought he was overrated, to be fair. I didn't think he could play quarterback in the NFL. I missed. I'll call it. I missed. Tim Tebow was put at tight end by Urban Meyer. And again, Tim Tebow could never play tight end. He never would have been able to play tight end. And I think that's where this comes from with Joe Milton. That's where I'm going now. But it is a ridiculous assertion to ask if he could play tight end. Because anybody, and Travis brought it up, anybody that is, I don't think Joe Milton's going to make it as a quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he can make it. And I will say it's because he doesn't process information well enough or quickly enough. Doesn't mean he's not smart. It just means he doesn't process quickly enough. And also he is just not accurate. But he doesn't, Travis took the words out of my mouth. He doesn't like to run already. If you don't like contact, how are you going to play tight end? He wouldn't be a good tight end. So for now, I won't attach the racial narrative to it because I don't know the person, so I'll be careful. It does have racial undertones. But more than anything, I think it's just lazy. I think it's just lazy, and I think it's just not studying the history of Joe Milton, the quarterback, and knowing what he can and can't do.
Well, they probably haven't seen Joe Milton play a lot. I mean, by lazy, are they supposed to study film before he makes it to the complex?
If you're going to ask somebody to switch a position, you should.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm at. And also, given what you talked about, given the racial history of it, if you're going to ask a black quarterback to switch positions, you better know what you're darn talking about, right?
That's a good point. Cover your own bases. Whether or not you're right or wrong, whether or not your heart's coming from the right place, cover your bases.
Exactly. So don't sit there and it's already a very dicey topic when you start asking black quarterbacks to switch positions because of the history. So if you're going to do that, you'd better come correct knowing the profile of a player. And if you knew the profile of Joe Milton, you would know that he can't play tight end. There's no way he could switch over to tight end.
Okay. So what I would like for you guys to do on the message board is tell me if I'm way off base. And if you could just kind of racist, borderline racist, Dave, you're crazy. Somebody said that. I respect your opinion. It's just not the question I would have asked. And I've been in about a bazillion press conferences.
Yeah.
And I've been around a bazillion prospects that theoretically could move other positions, but I respected the fact that they had spent their entire lives preparing to play that position and didn't ask them that question. Caleb, what if I called you tonight and I said, we're going to switch to a fashion show? I mean, that wouldn't suit your skill set. That would be insulting to you. That would be idiotic. I think it's analogous. I think asking him to play tight end is about that goofy as us going to fashion time with Hooker brought to you by Vogue.
Well, maybe you're basing that off the fact that I dress so well for the show every day. So
you are a snazzy dresser.
So I guess
under spring portal, as far as guys can go in, you just ask a question. It closes tomorrow, but you can still take people afterwards. Go right ahead.
Let me ask you this, Dave, because you actually covered a situation like this and you were more tied to it than I was. You were probably part of the national narrative that came out of it. You covered when James Banks was asked to be Clawson's go-to receiver in 2003, right?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't James Banks say, I will only do this if I can play if you promise to move me back to quarterback the next year?
I don't remember there being a promise made, but I know that Philip Fulmer made a lot of promises.
And he didn't keep a lot of them.
As far as playing time in recruiting, I can see in that situation him making that promise, but I have never heard that, and I do not know that.
Was it a dicey topic then to ask the black quarterback to move to receiver? Just curiously, I don't know. I was wondering.
No, because I watched James Banks play, and I don't care if he's yellow, black, or white. He's an athletic guy with a semi-accurate arm. I remember studying his tape back then. Those are two different guys. I mean, James Banks could probably have lined up and been an all-SEC receiver. And
if he had the work ethic.
Yeah, he would have been one of the best players they had. But it just didn't happen. Joe Milton could physically not do that. And we're now, 15 years removed from the bank situation? I mean, we're 15 years down the line. 20 years down the line from the bank situation where hopefully we've moved on as a society a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I always wonder with those, you know, situations, because I'm very sensitive to this issue. So, you know, it was, and you're right. And particularly when people have raised awareness to the issue over the past 20 years on, you know, guys, be careful on this. By the way, also, here's the other point. You know this, Dave. Salaries are guaranteed by position. If you're a quarterback, you'd rather be a backup quarterback and hold a clipboard for 5 years than be a starting tight end, right? Like, the money's just better.
You basically just ask him after he got a job, hey, you willing to take a pay cut?
Yeah, exactly. So,
you don't need a pay cut to shop at the Hemp House. If you use the promo code HOOKED, that's HOOKED, you get 10% off the premier hemp dispensary online. With a wide variety, great selection, and strict standards to ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products. Do you believe Joe Milton when he says, I absolutely would not consider that, which is what he said? If somebody came to him, if Gerard Mayo came and said, I can keep you on the team if you play tight end, as idiotic as that is for me to even say, if you're Joe Milton, would you stay on an NFL roster? You'd have to eat a lot of crow.
I mean, honestly, if Gerard Mayo does it, you'd have a really hard time rejecting it, because Gerard Mayo is a black coach and also one of the most respected new coaches in football right now. The NFL, you know this, Dave, probably better than I do. The NFL circles hold Gerard Mayo in such high regard as a person, as a coach and as a leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be like, at that point, it's like, it'd be like if Mike Tomlin asked you to switch, what are you going to say? Mike Tomlin is racist. So, I mean, it's, but I will say this, if Gerard Mayo does do that, then I'm going to say he will not last 2 years as a head coach, because if he thinks Joe Milton can play tight end.
No, I don't think he thinks that. I think that's a silly reporter, right?
Yeah, no, that was silly reporting.
No. Hold on. Greenwave says, why does Mayo's race matter? Well, I think when a black coach comes to you and asks you to move positions in what traditionally would be considered a prejudiced move, if a black coach comes to you, and that's different.
It's hard to call him prejudiced. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not racist.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we're going at it with it. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think the biggest thing is, this question was,
and yes, SEC football Milton could beat out Drake. You never know. Go ahead.
I said that yesterday, because that's based on what, if you guys try to tell me that Milton legitimately competed with Hooker in practice 2 years ago, I don't believe he did. Then he might compete with Drake May, because I think Hendon Hooker is better than Drake May. So that's where I was going with that. Now, as far as Milton, yeah, this question by this reporter, and we have colleagues, I don't want to go at reporters all the time, but this is one of those, Dave. Could you imagine if Nick Saban was asked that question and he had been coaching Joe Milton? Could you imagine what Nick Saban would respond to, how he'd respond? That's one of those times where he'd lash out and I'd kind of side with him lashing out. Because he got asked, remember how often he got asked lazy questions all the time? And I think that was, tell me if I'm wrong on this, looking back, when Nick Saban had his lash outs at the media, I go back and look at it. Don't you think most of the time when he got mad, it was because he thought the question was lazy and not thought out and not well-researched?
Yes. Greenwave, I want to address something you said on the message board. You said, I just always remove race from all equations and therefore don't have to worry about things being racist. One of the things I love most about sports is it's the furthest from racist you could possibly be. Everybody's basically treated by how fast you run the 40, how well you tackle, how well you throw, how well you catch, basically. However, I have been around in situations on both sides where I thought a white player got an advantage because he was white by a white coach, and a black player get an advantage because he was coached by a black player. Where I at least wondered, it was never a question that I would ask any of those guys, but it can go both ways. So I don't want to imply that those decisions are flippant. They're not. I mean, and it matters who they come from, though.
It does. And by the way, that's where I think there's an issue with football more than, and no one talks about this. I think it's mostly meritocracy. I think there's a class problem. What I mean by that is I think coaches are, and Deion Sanders said this out loud last year, they're more biased to quarterbacks who have two-parent households. And you told me about an assistant coach you knew who said he's more biased to defensive linemen who got beat by their by their parents. So, like,
there's a actually.
Yeah. So
I think that defensive line is just verbal abuse.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So
Quality Tire Pro, the Everly family has been serving Chattanooga since 1957. All major brands of tires, full service, automotive, brakes, alignments, oil changes, and more. All work covered by a nationwide warranty, Cherokee Boulevard, or online at qualitytirepros.com. Stop in and say, hey, Bo, Off the Hook Sports sent me, and we would greatly appreciate that. Don't forget to support our sponsors. We certainly appreciate that. Stay tuned. How about 2 minutes, and then this day in Tennessee football history.
Bronco, 59,829, 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540, 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Sports Treasures in North Knoxville is one of the South's largest sports cards and memorabilia dealers, featuring over 10 million sports cards from vintage to modern. Sports Treasures carries a full line of hobby boxes, singles, autographed memorabilia, Tennessee ball collectibles, fan cave decorations, and so much more. See a museum full of collectibles at Sports Treasures, 4819 North Broadway in Fountain City, and Sports Treasures on Facebook. Sports Treasures, where the real sports fan goes to shop.
Have you seen the latest TriStar Hats Co. product?
TriStar Hats Co.? What's that?
You know, those really cool hats, shirts, tumblers, and even license plates with three stars like the official Tennessee flag and stripes like the American flag. Pretty patriotic if you ask me.
Ah, gotcha. Seen those. Those are cool. Where can I get them?
Simple. TriStarHatsCo.com. And if you order now, there's 10% on any order $50 or more. Plus, use the promo code HOOKED.
With the promo code HOOKED, you get 10% off. That's HOOKED.
And don't forget free shipping with any order over $50. Stock up at TriStarHatsCo.com. That's TriStarHatsCo.com. There are plenty of wannabes out there, so make sure you go to TriStarHatsCo.com for the best quality and customer service.
Will do, and I'll be sure to use the promo code HOOKED. That's HOOKED when I do to save an additional 10% off. TriStarHatsCo.com.
TriStar Hats Co. is a trademark of TriStar Hats Co. LLC. Any use without express written consent is prohibited.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, banksjones.com.
Who's this guy?
Hello, wizard.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Who?
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
What?
YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app. Back to Dave Hooker.
I guess I'm in the minority. Wouldn't be the first time. The poll question asking Joe Milton to play another position is blank. Insulting, racist, a smart question. What do you think is leading right now? Don't look.
I'm going to go with the one I went, which is I'm going to guess insulting.
Insulting is trailing.
So it's a smart question, isn't it? Some people are saying it's a smart question.
A smart question as a way to take a backhanded shot at Joe. I don't get it.
Guys, I'm just going to say this.
There needs to be some love for Joe. I mean,
no, this isn't about love or not love for Joe, though. If you think it's a smart question, you didn't watch Joe Milton play last year. You're just looking at his size and his measurables. Because if you watched him play, you would know he cannot play tight end. He can't do it.
I think the people voting for that option also are probably just a little Sitka, Joe Milton in the offense last year, and they're ready to move on to a guy named Nico. So I think that's a lot of those voters. I don't think it's a smart question at all. Sorry for those that voted that. All right. Today is April 30th, this day in Tennessee sports history. How far back do we go, Caleb Calhoun?
We're going to go back to 2006. On April the 30th, 2006, coming off its first bowl miss in 17 years, we saw just how much of a great defense Tennessee wasted that year in 2005. Because after they had Jason Allen go in the first round, they had four players selected on the second day in the final three rounds of the NFL draft. Paris Harrelson, Omar Gaither, Jesse Mahalona, Kevin Simon. Omar Gaither became a longtime starter in the NFL. Paris Harrelson became a Pro Bowl defensive end.
Who was that again?
That's hot.
Paris Harrelson. Became a, by the way, rest in peace to Paris Harrelson and Jesse Mahalona.
Yes, absolutely. Paris Harrelson. You know what? I want to tell you, they were two of the finest men I covered. Got zero complaints about them. So God bless them.
Yes. You know what's funny you say that? That whole defense, I remember, I respected everybody on that defense that year more than the offense, because I feel like the defense kept playing even though the year was going down. You know, even as the year was collapsing, the defense never quit that season. And just a lot of high character guys, right? Jesse Mahalona, Paris Harrelson, Kevin Simon. I mean, these are even Omar Gaither, who had a long-term NFL career. But all four of those guys drafted on day two. And you go back and look and you're like, wow, Philip Fulmer and Randy Sanders really ruined a great year on defense, didn't they? They wasted it.
Yeah, I guess they did. I guess they did. You'll never waste your time stopping by that showroom at Dynasty Pools and Spas in Athens. Then they deliver everything to you. Dynasty Pools and Spas. Why Greg Sankey just went ahead and practically pulled the plug on the NCAA, said we're outie. Yes, that almost happened. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. They're just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com. Greg Sankey is the SEC commissioner. He is the guy that's been in charge of the television contracts. He's been the guy who's been in charge with a lot of discipline. He's been the guy that's been in charge with expanding the conference. He's also almost been involved with pulling the SEC out of the NCAA altogether. You brought this up, Caleb. How did that fly under the radar?
It flew under the radar because this happened the day of the 2021-22 national championship game between Alabama and Georgia. So everybody was covering the title game. So what happened that day? If you remember, the playoff was at four teams, and they kept wanting to expand it to get six or eight or something like that. And Greg Sankey was pretty heavy on 12, I believe, at the time. And so they were trying to have these negotiations, and so they couldn't get any movement. And Greg Sankey was not happy with the playoff being stuck at where it was. And neither was the Big Ten, by the way. So on January 2022, it was at the JW Marriott Hotel in downtown Indianapolis as the national championship game was happening. All the leading conference commissioners and the Notre Dame's athletic director all sat there and tried to hash out something. And Greg Sankey had what he wanted. He wanted to fast track the 12-team playoff, by the way. And the other conference commissioners, the Pac-12, the ACC, the Big 12, were like, no, we don't want that. And I don't know why they didn't want it, but they didn't. And they couldn't reach an agreement. So Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby, then Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby, he's no longer there, said, we can't reach an agreement. Let's walk out of this and table it. They had been failing to reach an agreement for years. Well, according Greg Sankey admitted last week that he basically said, if we don't reach an agreement, we in the Big Ten, we're just going to break off from the NCAA. We don't need you guys. And so they just walked out. They said, if we don't get an agreement now, we're done and we're breaking off and we're forming our own league and good luck to the rest of you. And then they got the agreement. The agreement came finally to the 12-team playoff, and they hashed out the details this past year, and the SEC and the Big Ten got the lion's share of the revenue that's going to be guaranteed from it. The question I have is, I've been very critical of Greg Sankey because I feel like, and the Big Ten, I just feel like they're sucking up so much of college football and taking away so much tradition in the process, and I felt like they were doing it for their own revenue. But I will be the first to say maybe I'm going to reevaluate. Are they doing that because it's absolutely necessary because the other commissioners are so darn incompetent? Is that, were their hands forced in having to do that?
Yeah. I, for the most part, athletic administrators aren't the brightest bulbs that are in the Home Depot aisle. So there are exceptions, obviously. I believe that Danny White's an exception. I believe that Greg Sankey's an exception. But there are others that are probably at other smaller conferences, and the cream rises to the top, that just aren't as competent as a guy running the Big Ten, as a guy running the SEC, right? So my question to you is, would we be better off if the Big Ten and SEC had broken away? Because when you start to do their numbers, that pretty much is your super conference. I remind you, Tuesdays brought to you in part by our friend Joe Neubert at Neubert Collision Center. Jeff Neubert's fantastic down there, and he brings you John Adams each and every Tuesday. John will join us on Friday this week. I want to get back to that. Would Sankey really be willing to pull the trigger, especially if the Big Ten wasn't committed?
25th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
So do you think you really would have pulled the trigger at that very moment? Do you think it was that close?
Yes, I do. And here's what's intriguing about it, Dave, is that, remember, Kevin Warren was the Big Ten commissioner at that time. I think USC and UCLA had not yet joined the Big Ten. They had not yet announced they were leaving for the Big Ten. This was January 2022. They didn't join the Big Ten until June of 2022, July. This tells me that the SEC and the Big Ten were already negotiating behind the scenes, because the Big Ten was willing to walk away with the SEC. And I wonder, do you think Greg Sankey already knew that USC and UCLA were headed to the Big Ten? Do you think he already knew that was happening at that point?
Whenever we knew, he knew it months before us, right? I mean, he didn't just get surprised.
Right, I agree. So it sounds like this, remember that alliance that they formed a couple of months ago that went public? It sounds like they formed that alliance 2 years ago. My guess is the Big Ten, and you can tell me if I'm crazy on this, but when the SEC added Oklahoma and Texas, they announced that in June of 2021, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 formed this alliance. Remember how hilarious that was, Dave, how they were going to form this alliance to save off the power of the SEC? I'm starting to think Greg Sankey called Kevin Warren and encouraged the Big Ten to go behind the ACC and the Pac-12's back and be like, hey, why don't we form an alliance? You guys go add USC, UCLA, you poach the Pac-12, we can have our own power because the Pac-12 is too incompetent. By the way, the ACC, and this is why Florida State went out of it so bad, they have bungled this fully. They barely backed Florida State getting screwed out of the college football playoff this past year. Not really screwed out, but the only reason that happened is because the ACC wouldn't agree to the expanded playoff. And so I think there is, as critical as I've been of Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, I look at the way the ACC and the Pac-12 and the Big 12 previously was run under Bob Boolsby, and I'm like, gosh, you guys really dropped the ball. Massively.
So is Caleb crazy? That's how that rant started.
That's crazy.
I play Tracy Morgan, but he's not. I think it's clear that the two best commissioners are in the SEC and the Big Ten. Now, after that, would we go Big 12 maybe because they were able to hold their conference together? But there's a clear delineation between the top two and everybody else. Would you agree?
Well, I think the SEC and the Big Ten have the best brands. I actually think the Big 12 may have the best commissioner because Brett Yormark pulled off the impossible. The Big 12, think about this.
He saved that conference. No, I'll give you that. But I want to get to this. If we were going into this season and the Big Ten and the SEC were a super conference, would we be more excited or less excited? Brought to you by Rick Terry Jewelry Design. They want to be your jeweler. Looking for an affordable game day jewelry? How about the Fire Opals? We gave some of those away to punter David Leverton, who won our Celebrity Bracket Challenge. A Tennessee tradition, RickTerryJewelry.com. RickTerryJewelry.com. Boy, David stayed all over me, too, like he's taking down Peter Warrick in the national championship game. I would be much happier if this were a Big Ten SEC conference. I'd be good with that.
I would only be good with that if they both expanded and each added like 10 more teams.
Oh, why? I mean, why?
I want Florida State, Miami, a couple of North Carolina schools, Virginia Tech. Like, I want these football traditions all in there with them. I want Notre Dame in there. I know, like, whatever you guys think about Notre Dame, I think college football, it's good for college football if Notre Dame's in whatever the peak, like, conference is of college football. It's good for Notre Dame. I mean, you want to. Don't you want to cover Notre Dame? And don't you want to cover like Miami and Florida State and Virginia Tech?
But I've done those things. I'm
saying the sport needs those. I like, by the way, something like Colorado, Dion at Colorado. I don't want that to be relegated to some minor league tier football program. That was a fun thing to cover last year.
No, it was. But the level of football I've always thought in college football could get better. For every Tennessee-Georgia game or Tennessee-Florida Classic, you have a Tennessee-North Texas. I feel like the games could be better on a week-in, week-out basis. I'd be interested to know the average margin of victory in college as opposed to the NFL. I bet there are a lot more blowout games. And,
I can just tell you how Vegas sets them. I mean, regularly when I do my picks, there's always over under. I mean, I'm always betting on spreads of 18 to 25 points. NFL spreads, if an NFL spread is over 5 points, that's insane. Like, it's rarely over 5 points.
Right.
And by the way, that's with 3 points given to the home team usually. So it's, but here's the thing, Dave. You can say that. But let's talk about marquee games real quick. The NFL, you could say every NFL game is marquee. You know what that means? There are no marquee games each week in the NFL. No one circles a game specifically in an NFL regular season week. Yes, circle the marquee games in college football. And you can hate me for saying that, but is there an NFL? I'm just going to ask you, have you ever seen an NFL game with the magnitude of Michigan, Ohio State, or Alabama, Auburn? You ever watch a regular season game like that?
Kind of the Egg Bowl.
Well, no, that's a college game.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Have you ever watched a regular season NFL game? That's a good one. Even on the
level. No, I haven't. No, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. I got confused by your question. Go ahead.
Yeah, even on the level of the Egg Bowl, which is a lower level, I didn't care when it was the Colts and the Patriots with the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady rivalry. That didn't come close to a top 10 college football matchup ever. And that's the point. What you're saying, Dave, what you would do if you sucked it out and had just 32 teams, there would be no such thing as a marquee college football game anymore.
No, that's not completely true. I mean, I know when I'm a Cowboys fan, I know when the Cowboys play the Eagles and when they play the Giants and when they play the Falcons, and I'm not as interested. It would lessen them, I'll give you that. But if you have that crown jewel of a playoff, does that offset your tattered robe of a regular season?
No. 3 weeks does not offset 3 months. And that's why college football is the greatest sport in the world, because of the 3 months. You set aside your Saturday for all of this. People say the NFL owns Sunday. not the way college football owns Saturday for college football fans, because the way the NFL owns Sunday, Dave, is you go watch your game, then you get ready for work or whatever. If you're a college football fan, you don't do anything but watch the marquee college football games all Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but you might lose a couple of storylines, but what storylines would you most hate to lose? Dion's one, because that's interesting, but that's not going to have a long shelf life. You have West Coast representation thanks to what the Big Ten has done. You have Texas representation thanks to what the SEC has done. I mean, to me, it is the super conference. What teams that aren't in there would break your heart? Colorado and Notre Dame?
Not just the teams in there. I like the lower teams competing. I like upsets sometimes every now and then. Not the way March Madness does it, because that's a gimmick. But, you know, one of the greatest games I ever watched was 2007 when Stanford upset USC. And that's one of the most exciting games I ever watched. Those memories are etched in my head. I love big upsets like that. You're getting rid of all of this. You're getting rid of the narrative of the 2001 Tennessee-Florida game where Tennessee was an 18-point underdog, because there will not be 18-point underdogs if you do what you're talking about. That's what's so much fun. The narrative of the 0-1 Florida game, you know this, Dave. The biggest story was the fact that Tennessee, whoever in Vegas set that spread should have been fired on the spot for Tennessee being 18-point underdogs. And it actually moved from 17.5. You're not going to get any of those anymore if you do your way. If you make college football the minor league NFL, all we're doing is watching players. We're just watching the future NFL and college football at that point. I don't want to watch the future NFL. I have the NFL to watch the NFL. I don't want to watch a lesser NFL. I want to watch something that's different.
Elias is our poster of the day. He's been hilarious. I don't know if you had an extra good cup of coffee or what. He says, I feel so bad for the 24 Cal and Stanford fans. I kind of do too.
Yeah, but the play of 1982.
At least they're in. They made the party, right?
They got to the ACC. They finessed their way. Poor Oregon State and Washington State, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I remind you guys to check out Hooker's Corner. We would love for you to join that. We give away, I'm going to put it on the message board. It's right there. You can see it if you're on our video platform on YouTube. But I would absolutely love for you to join that, because you get a little more interaction with me and Caleb. You also will get soon to be expanded recruiting content and our individual posts with some insight into Tennessee's football program. For instance, James Pierce may go number one. There's an assemblage of video footage of him on our page right now. It's just $9.98 a month. And that will get you in the drawing for our weekly prizes, such as a shirt or a book, and our monthly prizes, which will include, at the very least, something awesome from Sports Treasures. And this month, you have to join this month, we'll announce it on Friday. It will be an autographed helmet from one John Henderson. I guess it's going to be a mini helmet. I hope he didn't try to put it on his head, because a mini helmet ain't going to fit John Henderson's head.
No. It probably won't, unless someone keeps bashing it in and to the point that it shrinks a little bit, because, you know, he likes being bashed in the head to get ready to play football.
There we go. All right. So check out, I would love for you to check out the Hooker's Corner page. Please do that. And Caleb and I will have some insight, but we're really excited about some expanded recruiting coverage we're going to have here. And just maybe matter of days. Who knows? He's Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. This has been a presentation of Off the